Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome in to the Fog.net podcast. My name is Michael Swain, the Kansas beat writer for 24/7 Sports. We've got a little bit of a basketball-centric podcast coming your way during the KU football bye week. I am joined by Eric Bossy, who is the basketball guru and recruiting guru for 24/7 Sports. Eric, thanks a bunch for jumping on with us today.
Hey, appreciate you having me. Sorry, I'm trying to get my background comfortable and my hat seems to be a little askew today, so pardon me if I'm a little fidgety for a little bit.
Oh, it's all good. Keep it casual here. It's not super formal, but we're going to talk today about some of the KU basketball freshmen and then some Kansas basketball recruiting at the end. Obviously, Kansas signed, you know, four high school recruits and then added Kevin McCullough through the transfer portal. I want to start, we'll go in depth with all of them, but I want to start with something you wrote this week on the website about Grady Dick. If you go to the story, it's on the fog.net front page. It's basically, you know, five-star factors, 10 highly touted freshmen who will need to produce in 2022-23. Eric, you picked Grady Dick. I've got it here for the YouTube audience. They can read what you wrote, but I guess for those that maybe aren't super familiar with Grady, what exactly is kind of his game and why is he someone that you're kind of tabbing as, hey, this is a guy that needs to come in and produce from day one?
I'll tackle the second part of that with why he needs to produce from day one. I think you look at this Kansas team and a big question is, where is the shooting going to come from, right? You hope Jalen Wilson will be a little bit more consistent because obviously he's proven that he can shoot some, but the percentages maybe aren't what you're hoping for for a zone buster or a guy who's going to stretch the floor. You know, with Grady, you're talking about someone that had always been kind of a scorer in high school, but his senior year, he really became a much more consistent shooter at Sunrise Christian. And you're hoping that he can translate a little bit of that to Kansas because they do need someone that they can rely upon consistently to stretch the floor. And obviously with Oach and CB gone, there's a big hole there in the lineup, right? You know, presumably Kevin McCullough is going to fill a lot of those minutes, but I wouldn't really classify him as a shooter either. So there's a lot of minutes to be had. And I think Grady lines up as the guy who's most ready and most capable of stepping up and taking a lot of those minutes. And, you know, is he going to come in and shoot 50% from three like he shot in the neighborhood of his senior year? No, I don't think that's a reasonable expectation. But if you can get him somewhere between, say, 36 and 40%, then that solves a lot of problems for Kansas this year and presents a lot of difficulties for defenses looking to stop them.
Yeah, and Bill Self has come out and raved about Grady's shooting ability. You know, he spent probably a good 4 or 5 minutes talking about it at Big 12 media days, where I think the thing that Self was maybe most impressed by was his short memory, where, you know, Grady's a confident guy, and even if he misses a shot, it's very quickly on to the next shot. And I think that's something you see more from someone like Ochai as a senior rather than Ochai as a freshman. So for him to be that young and maybe the life experiences of playing at Sunrise and with USA basketball and doing the different things that he's done in his career, maybe that helps. But I thought it was very interesting that Self kind of went out of his way to really rave about Grady's shooting ability. I guess, Eric, when you look at the rest of his game, I guess, where do you feel like things are at for him? You know, he's a little bit on the leaner side. Bill Self talked about some of the mental mistakes maybe that happen when you are someone as confident as Grady. He gave an example of during practice, you know, got trapped and tried to dribble between his legs to get through the eyes. I think those are things that probably don't work when you're playing against Texas or Texas Tech in the Big 12. So for you watching him in high school and I guess just what you know about him, where do you feel like the rest of his game is at? And what are some of the things that if you watch much Kansas, you'll be looking for this year?
Yeah, it's funny because Bill brings up something kind of interesting with like he has the ability to move from one play to the other, which is a good thing. But sometimes you wish there was a little bit of maybe thinking back on some things that have caused you troubles or you've been mistaken and having them bug you and carry them for a little bit so that you don't make those mistakes down the road, you know. So you got to be careful. It's a fine line between confidence and being too forgetful of things bad that happened in the past, you know. So if you get where I'm coming from on that. So with Grady, I think it's good that he can move on from things, but also sometimes he does need to take a little more stock of some things that went poorly and remember them a little bit better and learn from them a little more. So that's going to be key for him. I do think he's one. It's funny because we're talking about him as a shooter, but kind of when he was coming up, his thing was he was a guy who was known to be able to, you know, dance with the ball a little bit, put him on the floor, make some things happen. That's one of the things I think that is intriguing about Grady is that he can put it on the floor. Now, putting on the floor in high school, like you say, versus putting on the floor in college is a much different thing. But I think as he adjusts to the speed of the game, the size of those around him, the physicality, I think you'll see him put it on a floor a little bit more. And if he's knocking them down from outside at a good clip, now you become really dangerous because when defenders come closing out on him, man, he can hit him with a shot fake and put it on the floor and make something happen. When he starts to get to that part of his game, I think you're going to really see what he's all about.
Definitely. And I think for me, when I look at Grady this year, I think the defensive fit is going to be really interesting because I think you mentioned it off the top there, right? That, you know, McCullough is going to play a lot and, you know, DeJuan Harris is going to play a lot. Those are two really good guards in terms of on-ball defending, off-ball defending. You got Jalen Wilson that'll probably play the four. I think for me defensively, I'm very interested to see how Grady does guarding some of the other kind of three and wing types in the Big 12, because you look at him and he's got kind of the frame and athleticism that you like to see. I'm curious to see how he does in terms of the scouting report, things like that, that maybe on a Bill Self team, you know, maybe takes a little bit for freshmen to get used to. Did Grady get challenged much at Sunrise? Did you ever get the chance to watch him against some of the other kind of premier wings in this class? Like, did he really play against those type of guys that much? Or was it mostly, you know, I think about Sunrise, I think about like Mark Mitchell and some of the big men, but did you see him play against a lot of like high caliber wings during his high school career on the defensive end?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Sunrise played as strong a schedule as you can play. They're in the NIBC, which is got teams like Montverde and IMG and Oak Hill and all the national powers. So he was regularly playing against high level guys. You know, like the last time I saw him on a high school floor in a real high school game was against Link Academy, who had, a pair of McDonald's All-Americans on the wing and Jordan Walsh and Julian Phillips. So, and a likely McDonald's All-American this year in Omaha Ballou. So, you know, he has played against dudes, and I'm not too concerned about him on the defensive end. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say he's going to be Brandon Rush defensively or anything like that, but I think he's going to be able to hold his own, and there's going to be mistakes, and there's going to be days where Self says, God, he sucks at defense, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But that comes with the territory when you're playing for Bill Self, right? So I don't have too many concerns about him. I think he'll be at least an average to good defender, which is about all you can ask for a freshman.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. I want to move on. I think the next guy we'll hit on here, MJ Rice, is very fascinating. I think Bill Self's messaging on him over the last week or two has been interesting. I'll use that word again, where Big 12 Media Days, he talks about, hey, you know, this is a guy that is very similar to a young Wayne Selden, similar body frame, athletic ability. And Wayne Selden took some time to adapt. And it sounded like from Self's perspective that, hey, MJ is a guy that might be thinking a little too much right now. You look at the resume, right? McDonald's All-American, you know, kind of on the fringe five-star category, if you look at the composite numbers, at least. I'm curious from your perspective, Eric, what do you exactly expect from MJ in this first season as he adapts to college?
Frankly, I think he's a guy who's going to struggle a bit. physically he's ready. He has the game, but what he did in high school isn't always going to translate. You know, he was able to play bully ball quite a bit because he's just so strong and imposing. He could just put his shoulder into the dude and get wherever he wanted to go. So that aggression is good. That physicality is good in that he's ready physically for Big 12 basketball. But things in terms of shot selection, running a lot of plays and sets, those aren't necessarily things that he's done a lot of in the past. And I think there's going to be a pretty big learning curve with some of that stuff. So there's going to be some high highs, but the lows may be low. And I can already see him being one of those guys that where the fan base is frustrated, like, man, Self just won't let this guy go. You know, Self won't let this guy do this, do that. But, you know, there's usually a reasoning behind that. You know, I think he's going to be fine. I'm not trying to say like, oh, this guy's overrated or he's going to stink or anything like that. But I just do see him having some early struggles, and, you know, it's going to be about how does he get through those things. You know, he is a guy that did attend, you know, three or four high schools and switched some teams. So, you know, I have found that a lot of times with guys like that, there are some struggles. So now he's in his place. Let's see what's going to happen when he faces a little bit of adversity and how does he fight through it? You know, he's a really tough kid. So I think he can get through it. He's got a ton of confidence in himself. So that's good. And I do know that the staff really likes him and what he can do down the road once he adjusts to a new role and not just being the man all the time.
Yeah. I like you mentioned his physicality, because you look at the other freshmen that have come in, and MJ looks like a 21-year-old, a 22-year-old. He doesn't look like a freshman in college. And that's something that some of the other players have remarked, is that, you know, you mentioned the bully ball aspect of things, right? And during practice, I guess some of the players have seen some of that from him. But you mentioned the long-term, feeling pretty confident about that. When you think, you know, whether it be sophomore, junior, maybe even further, what do you see the long-term potential with him being? And I guess maybe, do you agree with the Wayne Selden comp? Are there any other maybe KU players that you think of when you see someone like MJ?
I can see a little bit of the Wayne Selden, although I think Wayne was probably a little bit better ball handler, better playmaker for others than MJ. You know, there's not a recent Kansas player that really jumps off or jumps out at me as a guy like, hey, he reminds me a lot of this guy because he's a little bit different. Like, I think he's a dude that is probably going to play the two, the three, and the four, I would bet, during his time at Kansas, because he can – I kind of like the idea of making him a real mismatch four man, because he's a little bit short on it, but there's a lot of small ball fours out there. And I think he's strong enough, can do enough in the post that – you can create kind of a quickness mismatch and a real interesting guy at the four by using him some down there. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him play there a little bit. But to make a already long answer a little short, I don't have anyone that jumps out at me as a recent Kansas player to compare him to.
Yeah, and I guess long term, like for a ceiling for someone like him, it's clearly going to take time. And if Bill Self, you know, what is it, 2 weeks before the season really gets going, is saying, hey, you know, let's – something he said at media day was, hey, his role in November and December is going to be a lot different than it is in February. But if we project down the road, I guess, what type of player do you see him being when, if he is able to reach that full potential, what exactly do you feel like that is?
Yeah. Well, I don't think that full potential realization is for another 2 or 3 years down the road. You know, this is not a guy who I think is anywhere near being a one and done or anything like that. I remember a lot of worries from the Kansas fan base about, well, this guy's going to go pro. He's never going to make it to campus. And I was thinking to myself, well, you know, where is he going to go pro? Does he have the potential to eventually play pro basketball? Yes. But I think right now the focus is being a really good Big 12 player. You know, I think he's a guy that you could see follow the path of, we've seen this, how guys develop under Bill Self, you know, maybe sophomore year starts to click, you know, be a starter. You know, who knows, he could be a starter this year, right? Like, I guess we need to see that. But
true.
You know, he's a guy that I think if he's willing to be patient and follow the roadmap that's been laid, he could be an all conference kind of guy and a potential pro But obviously that doesn't, I don't think that happens in year one. If it does happen in year one, then, you know, hell, he's a lot better than any of us thought he was. And we think he's pretty good.
Yeah. And that'd mean a lot of really good things, I think, for this Kansas team too, in terms of the overall depth on the wing. And that's something that Self has talked about. I think heading into the season, you mentioned starters. Center is one of those spots that Bill Self has been pretty upfront that, hey, I really don't know who's going to be our starter, right? With Cam Martin now having an injury, he'll be out for a few weeks. You know, now you're really looking at Ernest Udeh, who will hit on next, Zubi Ejiofor, Zach Clements, and KJ Adams. For me, the center spot's fascinating. For Ernest in particular, you know, McDonald's All-American big man, seems to me like a rim-running guy that is a really good lob threat. Watching him over the summer and some of those scrimmages, you could just see the athleticism that he has and the ability to catch lobs and make plays around the rim. In terms of his high school and what you saw from him on the grassroots circuit, I guess what type of player is he? It doesn't seem to me like he's much of a post guy, but what do you kind of see from him on the floor?
Yeah, so he's a little bit raw. Obviously big and athletic, and like you say, he can run rim to rim, catch lobs and stuff like that. You know, he's got to learn some low post footwork. He's got to get a couple of go-to moves, you know, be comfortable with the jump hook, you know, scoring over either shoulder. And another thing is he's got to learn to use that size and that length on defense to his advantage. You know, I know early in practice that they've hoped he would be a little bit more of a rim protector, and he's maybe not been quite as much as they were hoping for, but I think he's starting to get that and understand that. You know, he's an interesting deal where I think he deserved to be McDonald's All-American, you know, because he earned it. But big guys are going to come along a little slower, and also you've got different situations in high school. Mm-hmm. You would think you've got a McDonald's All-American big guy, he's getting the ball all the time, right? He did not get the ball a lot on his high school team. Rarely did they throw him the ball. He played with a guard going to Florida, Denzel Aberdeen, a guard going to Mississippi State, Riley Kugel, who may be a kind of under-the-radar sleeper NBA prospect. And those guys kind of like to jack it a little bit. Okay, so, you know, his touches came via offensive rebounds or lobs or the occasional low post entry, but he wasn't like the feature guy on offense. You know, if you were going just to scout him, it was kind of frustrating in that, hey, I wish this guy would get some more touches. But, you know, on the other hand, it was also like, well, these guards are pretty good. I can understand why they're going off. So it's always interesting when you play with multiple other guys and styles. And, you know, they made a state championship game where they lost to the Boozer twins, Cameron and Caden, two of the best sophomores in the country now, freshmen last year, sons of Carlos Boozer, but, you know, I digress. You know, it's going to be a matter of how quickly he can feel comfortable on offense and how much he can apply what they're teaching him defensively. He's a really bright kid. He's a hard worker. I think he takes things to heart. Maybe sometimes takes them a little bit too much to heart. So you got to be careful not to, you know, lose his confidence and stuff like that. But I think he's going to be one of those guys that it's going to take a little bit of time, but once that light kind of clicks, you're going to be like, oh, okay, this is why everyone was so excited about him. Because he definitely has some days where they're like, yes, yes, this is what we want from you. And, you know, I think as the season goes by, you'll see a few more of those.
Yeah, like you mentioned, it's going to take a little bit of time. I lost track of how many times Bill Self said that during media day on Tuesday when he's talking about whether it be the team as a whole, the freshmen as a whole. When you think about Ernest, and I think I agree too, you mentioned the personality, getting to talk to him a little bit, you know, during media days and some of the other things that we've done, you get that. He's a good kid, and you can see that it means something to him. When you think about this freshman season and where he kind of fits in on this team, I guess, what do you think the role will look like? I look on social media a lot, and it's very funny. You see a lot of these projected graphics, who's going to start. And a lot of them are saying, oh, Ernest is going to start. And I'm like, is he ready for that yet? That's my question, at least, if you meant like things you mentioned, right? Where rim protecting, is he there? Is he there in the post? Bill Self has talked a lot about how KU doesn't really have a great post guy right now. For you and Ernest's role this season, I guess, what do you kind of see that being? And obviously things change, but, you know, how do you kind of see that progression going this year?
I don't really know. I don't think they know anything about what they're going to do at the five spot right now. I think that's the most confounding thing that they've got, because no one has really stepped up and said, all right, fellas, this is my deal. You got to come take playing time for me. And until that happens, it's going to be kind of trial by fire and five man by committee. I mean, heck, I won't be surprised if we see Jalen Wilson playing the five. Mm-hmm. And then just like, hey, let's get our perimeter guys on the floor, because that's where our strength is right now, and that's where we're most comfortable with. So it's going to be interesting. I think you're going to see a lot of tinkering with lineups early on, and you know, riding hot hands, and a lot of maybe some guys who aren't putting up stats or something like that, but they're doing the little things that maybe us average viewers watching on TV aren't paying attention for, and we're going to be complaining about it on message boards and things like that. But they're going to be like, hey, you know what? Girl, like, I mean, I think they would kill for Landon Lucas right now. You know what I mean? Just someone steady and reliable that's going to be in the right spot. You know, is he sexy? No. You know, does he have a bunch of stars attached to his name? No. But, you know, he was effective and reliable. And I think they're just looking for the guy who can be the most reliable right now is going to get the most minutes.
Yep, I totally agree. And so let's do one more at the five, and we can do Cook with Zuby. I thought it was very interesting. Going into the year, I wondered, hey, you know, if there is a guy that's going to redshirt on this team, that's kind of like, oh, it would kind of make sense if it was Zuby. Obviously, Cam Martin doesn't have it. You're going to play Zach and KJ and Ernest most likely as well. But then Bill Self came out and pretty much said it. No, he's not going to redshirt. He's going to play. Watching him over the summer, I think you see some versatility there with Zuby. Obviously, he produced at a super high level at high school, right, at Garland. What exactly, like, is his game? Because it seems like he's more of a jack-of-all-trades guy to some degree. Maybe I'm wrong in seeing that, but what do you see in his game?
I love Zuby. I'm a bit of a Zuby honk. So you're viewing these through Bossy is a big fan of Zuby, a Geophore glasses. I think it provides tremendous activity around the rim. You have to account for him. He puts pressure on the rim, and that you've got to account for him catching lobs, crashing the offensive glass, things of that nature. And that's really, really important to open up the floor. Now, is it always going to be pretty? No, I think his exuberance is going to get the best of him. Sometimes, you know, he's probably going to play a little bit too fast at times. He might try and put the ball on the floor here or there when it's not necessarily what you look for. But with time, you know, the guy's got a pretty clean looking shot. I do think he's going to be able to knock down some mid-range jump shots, eventually even maybe get the green light to take an open three here or there. But I just think his overall activity, willingness to be physical, and his athleticism are going to help him find a way on the floor. There's never going to be a question about the effort you're getting out of Zuby. And I think that will earn him a lot of points down the road. And he's a guy that I really think is destined to do really big things before he's done at Kansas.
Mm. When you think about the long-term potential, I look at him and when I watched him over the summer, right, again, going back to kind of the scrimmage, which you don't make much of, right? It's just pick up basketball. But Zuby went out there and I think he hit three threes, which you mentioned the smooth stroke. And that's exactly what my mind went to right away is, yeah, he showed some of that over the summer. When you look at the long-term development, I'll give you another long-term question, but what exactly, like, is he long-term? It seems like he's got a future at the five, but is he someone that would play the four as well? I guess, where do you see
things? He can play both. Now, look, I'm not saying Zuby is going to be National Player of the Year and lead his team to within a, you know, seconds maybe of a national championship game, but man, he reminds me an awful lot of Thomas Robinson. Body, size, activity level, what they're going to be able to teach him to do in the low post. And, you know, I could see a really similar kind of trajectory for him.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let's go!
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
Definitely. Cool. Well, let's go to some future Jayhawks who aren't quite there yet. Let's get to the 2023 class. Obviously, this is one that really came together, you know, kind of late in the summer, early in the fall. I want to start with Chris Johnson because I think that obviously the first commit, but I think his trajectory is fascinating, right? He kind of dipped a little bit in the rankings after the summer, but then goes and has an incredible tournament. What was it, 10 days ago, last week, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
What, from your perspective, I guess, what exactly is Kansas getting in Chris Johnson, and how would you describe that, his game? I know we've talked about a little bit on the message board, but for folks that maybe, you know, aren't VIPs or are paying attention to it, what exactly, like, is Chris Johnson's game?
Boy, that depends who you talk to on our staff at 24/7, because he may be the single biggest lightning rod for debate internally for us when it comes to doing rankings and who likes who and stuff like that, because the talent is evident. He's a big combo guard, has some explosion. He can really create for himself off the dribble. When he gets it rolling from deep, he can put up points in a hurry. Like, there's an awful lot to like there, but he's also, you know, he's one of those guys that, let's just say if you send him up to bunt a guy to second, he's going to call a shot and try and hit a home run. You know, there's no playing it safe. There's no, hey, kind of feel for time and score a little bit sometimes with him. And he's also highly combustible, you know, wears his emotions on his sleeves type guy. So when he's got all that reined in, man, he's spectacular. He looks like a potential NBA player. He certainly looked like a potential NBA player to me out in Las Vegas a couple weeks ago at the Border League. And I think people who watched online were like that too. And I think the move to Montverde for him is going to be huge. They're not going to put up with any stuff from him there. And he needs that. He really needs that before he gets to college. And I think he's getting that. And I think, you know, the early returns are, he's adjusting to it, and you got to give him credit for that. You know, these kids aren't dumb to hear what's said about them around them. And he probably knows that people are questioning, can he control his emotions and can he make good decisions? And so far, so good. And I think he deserves a lot of credit for going somewhere that he can work on that. And I think that, you know, he's got the potential to be a really, really dynamic guard for them. And I, you know, I'll still have some concerns, but to me, I'm more on the pro Chris Johnson side now, in terms of, like, when the debates come, I'll be pushing for him up, versus coming out of the summer, I was kind of Switzerland with him. I was kind of like, you know, I see the arguments for him, I see the arguments against him. You know, I've seen him blow up on coaches. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen what can happen when the bad Chris Johnson is there, but I've also seen him be unguardable when the good Chris Johnson is there. So the thing is, we're getting more and more good Chris Johnson. And also, those self ain't scared of a guy like him. It's taken a lot of guys that people are like, what are you doing? You know, how are you going to deal with him? And he seems to either do what he demands or you're out of there. And if you do what he demands, you end up being pretty darn good. So, you know, I think he's a Bill Self guard, and I know they're really, really high on him and excited about getting him.
Definitely. Well, you mentioned lightning rod amongst the 24/7 staff. I know a player that's probably a lightning rod amongst Kansas basketball fans who follow recruiting, and that's Jamari McDowell. Obviously a super great summer, right? One of the big risers of anyone in this entire class over the summer. I don't have the ranking jump in front of me, but that composite grade there probably doesn't reflect where he's at.
Yeah, I went from two stars to the top 50 in 3.5 months.
That's pretty good. So what exactly has contributed to his rise from being the two-star to all of a sudden where you're looking at him being a top 50 player?
So he's a super versatile wing. He can He can handle the ball a little bit for you as a primary ball handler, although I wouldn't call him a point. He can score off the ball as a primary scorer with two, or he can also play some out at three. So he's got that ability to switch up and down and play one through three. He's a pretty bright guy, pretty high basketball IQ out there. Does a lot of the little things. And it's interesting because this isn't just a debate on the Kansas message boards. This is a funny one where, you know, you'll find a lot of people around Houston area, Texas, you know, areas from where he's from who are kind of skeptical about, is he a Kansas level player? You know, it's interesting. Whereas nationally, we think pretty highly of him. Locally, there's a little bit more of a debate. Obviously, there's been some debates on the Kansas message boards. So I think he's pretty good. You know, like me personally, I would disagree with us having him ranked over Chris Johnson. I would take Chris over Jamari. But also, when they played on the same team together at the end of the summer, after Chris Johnson left JL3 on the Nike YBL circuit and moved to the Houston Defenders on the Under Armour circuit, you know, Jamari outplayed him. So there's that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. And I'll get to a big picture question after this, but El Marco, I think for me, for my money, that's a huge get to have a point guard like that, that screams Bill Self point guard, right? Downhill guy, really good explosiveness. What exactly do you agree with the sense that he is a Bill Self point guard? Does he remind you of anyone in the past that comes to mind?
Gosh, I don't know if there's like a great comparison, because I've said he's got a little Devon Dotson to him, but he's obviously much bigger and he's not quite the scorer that Devon was. Like, Devon was really an in-your-face attacking scorer. You know, got in the lane at will and stuff like that. But Marco is a guy that definitely from the second they saw him in April, I think it was really – he played an event in Kansas City, and Norm Roberts was there watching and really, really took a strong liking to him, and they made him a main target. And he was a guy, like, that they had to have no matter what, as Kings went. And I stressed that on the message boards too, is with each step of the summer and into the fall that things went along, he was the guy that, like, we got to have this dude. And, you know, he could play the one, he could play the two, I think. He's coming into a pretty ideal situation, because I don't imagine DeJuan Harris is going anywhere before next season. And he's a perfect guy for El Marco to play with, because he's going to relieve a lot of pressure on him with making decisions and just allow him to get downhill and do what he does. But, man, that kid's a stud. He's a stud on the floor. He's a stud off the floor.
Yeah.
Bright kid, big personality. I just can't see any world where, like, the Kansas fan base doesn't just totally fall in love with this kid, with what he does on the floor and with how he carries himself off of it.
Yeah. I mean, I've never talked to El Marco, but you watch the commitment video, right, that we did with him live, and you can pick up on that, just the personality. I think for you, when you look at these guys then as a whole class, and this will be our last question, I'll let you get out of here. How do you feel like these guys fit? Because this is something that I think you had hit on the message board, I wrote about a little bit, is that these guys all seem to be able to play together if that point in time comes, you know, next year, 2 years down the road. When you look at the long-term fit for these guys, how do you feel like they fit as a trio, and then with kind of the expected returners on next year's team as well?
I think they fit together really, really well. I'm thinking about these guys as sophomores playing together, and some as freshmen too, and potentially down the road, because I don't think any of these guys is a one and done type guy, but you never know. I mean, there's inevitably going to be 15 to 20 freshmen every year that leave for the NBA. And certainly it wouldn't be a stretch to see El Marco or Chris eventually being one of those types of guys, or you know, just saying, hey, what the heck, I'm going to give it a shot here. So short term is the question, because I guess we don't know who's going to be back, you know. You know, does Joseph Yesufu take a big leap this year and then is coming back and doing anything, or do some of these guys maybe look to transfer? You know, you just never know. I mean, the fact of the matter is, it'd be foolish to think that there aren't going to be a couple transfers at the end of the year on any team in the country. And whether that's big guys, perimeter guys, who knows, but the roster that these guys have committed to and are signing to is probably going to be a lot different than the one that they join. That's just a fact of college basketball these days. So it's hard to know too much until we actually see who's in place, but I think it's going to be darn near impossible to keep Marco off the floor as a freshman. Like, it's going to be really, really tough just because he's just going to demand it with his play and what he does on a daily basis and how good of a fit I think he is. You know, if Chris Johnson keeps trending like he is, that guy's going to play an awful lot too. And, you know, I look at Yesufu, or you got Kyle Cuff or whatever, you know, these guys are just more talented than those guys. The guys coming in are more talented than the guys there. So it's going to be, is talent or experience going to trump? And, you know, I think that with Marco and Chris, they've got the kind of talent that could trump experience, but you know, we'll see. You know, is Grady back? You know, is MJ Rice back like we think he should be? You know, a lot to find out, because it could be a really crowded perimeter next year. But again, like I said, it's college basketball. It's foolish to, you know, really be worrying about, oh, where are the minutes going to come from right now? Because it's just more than likely the roster is going to look different than it does today.
100%. And I mean, KU was an outlier too over this past season, right? I think they're one of like very few schools that did not have anyone transfer out, and you play the odds, and the odds are that's not going to happen back to back years. It doesn't matter. Yeah. It's just how it works.
They are odd in that, but they do have a team that has transfers, you know? So we saw what happened, you know, two summers ago when it was Transfer City. Right. So, you know, and a big guy that they're relying on is Kevin McCarter. Like, you just don't see teams that, I don't know if they're the only team in the country, but if you look at UCLA, they are the extreme outlier. Not only did they not have anyone transfer out, they didn't have anyone transfer in, they don't have a single transfer on their roster, which is, I can't imagine there's many other, if any other teams in the country that don't have a single transfer on their roster. So it just is what it is. You know, it's with NIL, there's going to be guys hitting the transfer portal to test the waters and test the market, free agency, more or less. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
we just got to wait and see what happens. But, you know, I'm sure internally they've got a lot better handle on who's going to be there and who isn't than we know. And, you know, I don't want to speculate too much because I don't need an angry phone call from someone in the basketball offices saying, hey, man, you said this. People are saying this is happening. Like, no, that's not what I said. But, you know, you just got to expect it. There's going to be some changes. And whatever those changes are going to be, Bill Self, Norm Roberts, Jeremy Case, Kurt Townsend, they got a hell of a lot better idea of what's happening than we do. Yep. And there's a reason that they focused on perimeter players.
Yep, exactly. I totally agree. Well, Eric, thanks a bunch for coming on. For anyone looking to follow Eric on Twitter, you can at eBoss, B-O-S-S, Hoops. Follow him on Twitter. He's obviously doing a bunch with recruiting on the 24/7 Sports main website. He's also super involved on the fog.net VIP message board. Thanks a bunch, Eric, for coming on. We'll have to get you on again a little bit later in the season.
Yeah, appreciate you having me on, Michael.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.